Welcome to More Than a Few Words, a marketing conversation for business owners. This is your host, Lorraine Ball. Throughout my career, there have been multiple occasions where I felt like perhaps I was in over my head, that I was an imposter, I was faking it. And it's nice to know that I'm not alone in that. Imposter syndrome is real and there are ways around it. And today, we're going to dive into that topic and I've invited Zach Montroy to join me. He's the founder and CEO at The Intention Collective. He's a leadership team coach with over 20 years of experience. He has a passion for helping leaders expand their impact and build trust. And this has led him to focus his efforts on helping entrepreneurs scale and grow their businesses. And today he's going to share some tips with us. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Lorraine. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
I'm so excited to have you because I know that imposter syndrome is real. I've experienced it myself. I've seen it with my kids and my clients. What do you do when you feel that imposter syndrome creeping in?
Yeah, I think first it's really important to recognize that for most of us as founders and leaders, it is something that probably every one of us have dealt with at one point or one season of our career or another. So I think even just recognizing I'm not the only one, I'm not the only leader to go through this. I mean, all the studies are really showing for entrepreneurs, for early stage company founders, this is something that most all of us wrestle with and we go through.
Absolutely. For many of us, we did not go to school to run a business. Mm-hmm. We had some other career path in mind. And so suddenly we are running a business and we're in charge and it sometimes feels a little scary. And so when that happens, what do I do when I recognize that I'm feeling that way and I got a business to run, so I don't really have time for it?
Yeah, I mean, I think even beyond that recognition, and you're right, you know, this is not something that they taught to us in college, no matter, I mean, if we did go to business school or not, no one talks about imposter syndrome in, you know, undergraduate or graduate school. And I think when we find ourselves in the position where we are feeling like the entire weight of the business rests on our shoulders, when success or failure is up to us, I think it's really common to get into this pattern of, you know, I'm not good enough, there's not going to be enough. And I think that that's where we're letting shame, comparison, scarcity really creep in. And what I've learned along the way, especially when it comes to imposter syndrome, there's a really close tie to self-compassion. And Kristen Neff has done a ton of work in self-compassion. And really, at the end of the day, is this question. Do we treat ourselves, do we talk to ourselves in the same way that we would talk to someone that we love and we care about? And when we start to think about that, you know, it's not necessarily you need to spend more time doing XYZ so that you can get rid of imposter syndrome. It really is, there's some really common elements of how do we get from imposter syndrome, I'm the worst, I'm never going to be enough, to I am enough. I'm talented, I'm gifted, I can do this thing. And, you know, some practical tips for we got to keep what's important in front of us and sort of back off on the things that are going to, you know, spiral us down in a deep, dark hole.
I want to go back because I love something you said right at the beginning of that section, which is treating yourself with compassion. When you have an employee that is doubting themselves, as a coach, as a cheerleader, as a good boss, you're going to encourage them. You're going to tell them it's okay. When your children or your spouse are having a bad day, you're going to be there for them. Mm-hmm. And I love that idea of treating yourself the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the work of self-compassion, that's self-kindness over self-judgment. Right? If your child, if your coworker, if one of your employees messes something up, makes a mistake, doesn't meet their sales quota or goals for the quarter, I mean, we're likely not going to pile onto them, tell them that they're the worst thing in the world, right? I mean, if we love and care about someone, we realize everyone makes mistakes. We all suffer. We all feel inadequate. And rather than ignoring our pain or, you know, failing or fledgling, you know, instead of getting to self-criticism, people with self-compassion recognize that being imperfect and failing and experiencing difficulties is an inevitable part of life and leadership and owning your own company. And when we lean into self-compassion, we start, you know, to be gentle towards ourselves, so that when we're confronted with those painful experiences, rather than getting angry, telling ourselves we're the worst and we've fallen short, we, you know, say this is part of the human experience. When we can give ourselves and lend ourselves compassion and sympathy, you know, we get to this greater sense of emotional equanimity. Like, we can be balanced and care for ourselves and for what's going on at the same time.
Okay. So I'm ready to be a little bit gentle with myself. I'm ready to be a little bit forgiving of my mistakes. Mm-hmm. What else can I do to help me overcome some of the self-doubt? Or I've passed the beating myself up, but there are still the doubts and the concerns that I don't really know what I'm doing. How do I get past some of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, practically speaking, I love that the saying, like, you eat an elephant one bite at a time, or you can't boil the ocean. Like, really what we're trying to say there is it's small steps that lead to big progress down the road. And so, I mean, I think very practically speaking, as a business owner, that means we have to take a step back and really look at what is most important for me right now. What is the thing that only I can be doing? What's the most important contribution of mine? Where does that line up with my unique ability? So doing the work of really understanding what is my unique and best contribution, you know, then use a tool like the Eisenhower matrix to say, you know, what's important and urgent, what's maybe important but not urgent that I need to be working on, so that we can really drill down and figure out what is my best contribution. And, you know, most business owners, I think, deal with a little bit of ADHD. So I think really drilling down that focus is really important, so that we're not trying to boil the ocean. We're not trying to do everything at once. And the second thing that, you know, might feel a little more squishy is leaders who know how to work through imposter syndrome, because I don't think it's something that you can build up, you know, this resistance to. I think it's something, if we're signing up for leadership, all of us are going to constantly probably deal with this in some way or the other. I'm not going to hustle for it anymore, so I'm going to build some resilience to it, is to say I need to be practicing mindfulness. And, you know, that mindfulness is simply just this non-judgmental, receptive state of mind where I can observe my thoughts and my feelings without trying to suppress them or ignore them. I think we try to suppress and ignore this stuff so much that we don't know how to work through it. And so we don't become resilient to it, and we let it derail our actions, our thoughts, and really the most important things that we should be working on.
Wow, you packed so much into that little section. I want to unpack just a little bit of it, because you really hit on several points. One is sort of looking at all of the tasks in front of you and taking that breath and giving yourself the time to say, this is important, this is urgent, but it's not really important. That fire 3 miles away is not going to burn down my building, mm-hmm. but whatever this is right here is going to move my business forward. It is urgent. And then also getting into that habit of taking that breath to sort of assess where you are and going, okay, I'm uneasy or I'm uncomfortable, if is what I heard you say, and going, mm-hmm. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to accept that I am, but then what do I do about it? How do I work through that? And I think both of those really come down to giving yourself permission as a leader to take that breath and pause.
Yeah. And I mean, I think mindfulness requires that we're not over-identifying with emotions, but it also requires that we have some form of emotional literacy too, right? I think one of the sad things about our culture is on a whole, we can identify three emotions on average, mad, sad, or glad. And you know, I love Brené Brown's work. In her book, Atlas of the Heart, they found that the most effective transformational leaders, you know, across the spectrum from entrepreneur to, you know, running giant companies, really were able to identify with 70 plus different emotional experiences in themselves and others. And I would say, you know, if we're really getting to understanding why imposter syndrome is there, that requires us to understand what are sort of the news reports of our emotions registering within us. How is that causing us to think and feel and act? Because likely we're acting it out on someone else. We are, you know, if we don't know how to practice mindfulness, if we don't know emotion, then we're likely letting it drive unhealthy behavior that sometimes we're not even aware of. And okay, but other people are paying the price of that.
Absolutely. Well, Zach, I could spend way more time than the 10 minutes that we have on this topic, but we're going to pause here. And I really want to encourage anybody, if you are listening, if you have enjoyed this conversation, there'll be links in the show notes, both to Zach's website and to his LinkedIn profile. Definitely check it out. Learn more about what he does and how he does it. And that will help, I think, you be a better leader. Zach, thank you for being a part of the show.
Thanks so much, Lorraine. It was great to talk with you today.
I enjoyed it. And if you've enjoyed today's conversation, go ahead and share it with a friend. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been another episode of More Than a Few Words. Thanks for listening.